This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you this morning?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capital, Toronto Maple Leaf, Buffalo Sabre, Hershey Bear, Dalt's Honda.
Toronto Planet,
Dalt's Honda Canadian, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Leapin' Lou, how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, guys. Just watching the snow drift down here, making it feel like Christmas morning.
I should have thrown in Niagara Falls Flyers and whatever Pee Wee and Bantam team you were on there, Lou, so...
Yeah, you can keep going somebody from nowhere, right?
Hey, you did pretty good, buddy. Anyways, just let our listeners know today, obviously we're going to start off with a little bit of Leaf talk, but we've got co-captain of the 1973 Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Frank Pomerico, is going to come on. We're going to have a discussion about NCAA football down south. We're getting into the November... November season, where we get into conference championships and things start getting juggling for position in the college football playoffs. We'll talk to him. And bottom end of the hour, you may want to hang in and listen to this. We have Bob Wilkie. Bob Wilkie was a member of the 1986 Swift Current Broncos, the team that lost four players tragically in a bus crash, and a film has just come out called Sideways. It's just been released. It's amazing reviews. It chronicles the story of the Swift Current Broncos and that tragic season and the journey of Bob Wilkie, who was a star defenseman on that team, and how he coped with that over the years and in his journey, and has resulted in this incredible film that we were contacted on a few weeks ago and offered the opportunity to offer that experience and Bob's words to our listeners. So we're really thrilled about that, and that'll come on shortly in the middle of the hour. Gentlemen!
Start your engines.
Start your engines. You know what? They did have a winning week. Let's put it that way. The Toronto Maple Leafs, easy to be very critical about their performance last night, but we did beat the Calgary Flames on Tuesday night. We beat the Mammoth. Okay, we beat them Wednesday night. Not a great performance against the hated Boston Bruins last night, and we got a tough one tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes down at the Scotiabank Arena. We tend to, I don't know if the word over-criticize the Toronto Maple Leafs or we're overly concerned, but even in their victories against Calgary and against Utah, there were some parts of those.
One against Pittsburgh, too.
And... Oh, that's right. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, it's been a busy week. There were some concerning parts of those victories. Last night, the defense didn't look great. The goaltending didn't look great. I don't know what you want to say about the forward lines, Naz, but not a great performance from the Leafs, we're starting to get into a pattern where, you know, they get off to sluggish starts. They don't play well in the first and second periods. They're, you know, behind in the shot count, you know, 10 to 15 shots, and then they got to go crazy in the third period to achieve some success. Biggest difference so far, you can statistics-wise, is the goaltending. Last year, we were fourth in save percentage across the NHL. Right now, we're 30th in goals allowed. Games that Stolarz was covering up a lot of the Leaf mistakes last year, he ain't covering them up this year. Naz, your reaction to, you know, overall, week-wise, you know, points, not too bad, but last night didn't...
It's very disturbing when you're a star player. You don't even notice him out there. Auston Matthews, you do not notice him at all in last night's game. And there's a few games this year that he's played that way. And unless he picks up his boots, it's going to be a long season. And they traded a first-round pick for Brandon Carlo. You remember that?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Now that guy is going to come up and in the draft. We lose a first-round draft pick because of that.
Yeah, we've traded a lot of first-round draft picks for the returns on those draft picks are still yet to be determined or questionable. Lou, where do you want to start? You want to start with the positives? You want to start with the negatives? You know, a couple of victories, but a loss last night. But overall, your sense of where the Leafs are at?
Didn't Fraser Mitton get traded for Brandon Carlo? Wasn't he a first-round pick?
Also,
well, that's
it. It was a second round pick out of out west. But anyways, you know what? Listen, guys, this team is a mixed bag of I really don't know what to call them right now. I think we got to be patient with them.
Yeah.
We more or less Stolarz isn't playing up to the standards that he set last year. Is this what we're going to get? Is this a one trick pony? I think he misses Joseph Woll, his backup there, because he really doesn't have a backup. I saw yesterday that Caden Primo got picked up on waivers by Carolina. So, you know, there's another problem right there. Why did they pick him up in the first place from Montreal? And, guys, I don't know how many times I've had to harp on this, but and Joe Brolin and you know, kept on reiterating, saying, well, this team looked like the 92-93 team. They went all the way to the Final Four, big, aggressive, and slow. I think this team is big and slow afoot on the back end. And if some of those guys don't turn it around, I think we're going to be in for a long season. And if we're going to be fighting for that last playoff spot, tooth and nail, right till the end of the year. And I think Craig Berube is having a tough time getting through to these guys on how to play the game the right way or his way.
Yeah, I mean, Berube, I mean, having to watch the Leafs defense without Tanev, I mean, that's a huge, huge hole. And then watching Benoit and Philippe Myers, I mean, Pasternak, he did a real number on Benoit last night. We used to say that they in the old days they were looking for the jock strap after that. Is that what we used to say, Lou?
Something like that. But you know what? Benoit, I thought he was an up-and-coming D. I thought he could have closed in for top four D last year.
Yep.
I don't know. Again, it's tough to figure out professional athletes because you go from one year, you sign them to a big contract, and all of a sudden the next year they fall flat on their face. I'm really shocked at how bad he's playing right now.
Yeah. What I've and you know a lot of times with D, it's a function of who you're playing with too, right? You know, so the Benoit Myers defense pairing to be charitable hasn't really impressed all that much, and that may be having an effect on Benoit's game. But you're talking about Berube. Man, the camera panned to him a few times last night. And
especially after that goal.
And after Fraser Mitton scored that goal. Oh, if looks could kill, that shot of Berube. And I can't even imagine what that dressing room was like after the game last night. I don't know if you guys, I was talking to Naz earlier, Lou, I don't know if you've been watching Face Off on Amazon Prime. It's an in-depth look behind the scenes of the NHL, and watched a few episodes of it this week. And one thing I've realized from watching these NHL players and coaches up close is the NHL has two official languages. One of them is English and one of them is swearing. man. the F words, if you watch Amazon Prime Face Off, I mean, I'd say every second word starts, they used to call it expletive deleted in the old days. It starts with F, and I can only imagine. I think the NHL's official second language was more prominent in the Leafs dressing room last night than English. Oh, I God help those players after that game last.
You mean John Schneider can go over to the NHL
yeah,
now?
Yeah, he'd fit right in. but I can't even imagine the verbal lambasting that those Leafs players got after the game last night. Naz, your take on, they kept on panning to Berube to gauge his reaction at various points.
They showed him a few times swearing, so I'm sure he's there when it comes to.
Yeah, but after that Minton goal, I think he turned a deep shade of purple.
Especially with him scoring it, right?
I can't blame him for being upset, Lou.
You know what, Wally? It's I'm not sure if it's Berube, but I'm watching some of the Ottawa Senator games, and their coach, that four-letter word, it seems like it's coming out of his mouth every second.
Travis Green opens his
mouth.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just unbelievable. You know what? It's just utter frustration. That's all it is. I know I was once upon a time at the other side of that, being a player, but. Now, looking at it right now, if you don't keep your calmness, and players are gonna feel off of that, and they're gonna be, that team is gonna go backwards instead of forwards. And if Craig wants to lay into his players,
but he's not the only one, Lou. To be fair to Craig, he's not the exception to the rule. You watch this face-off series, and we saw it a few years ago with Boudreaux, where Boudreaux's mother got upset having to watch it. you watch it, and it's the series is not just about the Leafs. The Leafs are prominent in episode 4 during their playoff run, but you watch all the other teams. It's not just Berube. Let's be fair to him. It's all of them. I'm not going to be critical of that. Maybe I should be critical. It's a dressing room. They're entitled to say whatever they want. They're out on the ice. I can't say I don't use that word from time to time. So, I'm not going to say that my words are necessarily pure, 365 days of the year. Obviously, when I'm on the air and I'm in public with people I don't know, I try to be careful. But it's not just Berube, so let's be fair to him. And it's not just hockey. I think it's sports in general, isn't it? And I don't know if this is, I don't know if, I don't know, I'm not even intending this as a criticism. I think it's more of an observation. That's just the way it is. In a lot, people exercise their demons and their frustrations and in a lot of different ways. And that's one way of relieving your frustrations.
Sorry to cut you off here.
Yeah.
It's what you want to call it. It's our second language.
Well, it is in the NHL. Absolutely. That's why
it's
I call
everywhere.
It. It's not,
everywhere because yeah. I bet you coaches everywhere are schooled on how to say things or how their mouth opens.
But Lou,
and watching what kind of words come out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Because nowadays the camera's always on you.
Yeah, and that's the beauty or that's the part of this Amazon Prime. When they talk about being behind the scenes, they are behind the scenes. They're in the dressing room when the Leafs are getting pummeled by the Florida Panthers. And at one point in the episode, Austin Matthews yelled at the cameraman and say, "Get out of here." Because God only knows what was going to happen after that. And they had to close the doors, but you could still hear the noise in the background. But I will ask you, that's fine. That's the way it is. It's, so what? People swear it happens. Try not to do it in front of small kids. But when you were a player, I think your coach for most of your career in Washington was Brian Murray, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I can imagine. But is that from the perspective of a professional athlete, you're in a dressing room. The whole team's been playing poorly. And the coach comes in and just goes on a tirade. Just goes nutso in a dressing room, either between periods or after the game. Using every word that's unprintable and we can't see on the air. Is that effective? I mean, there may be even a difference between your day and today. I get the sense that that doesn't work with today's athletes. What's your sense as a former professional athlete? Does that motivate players? Are they all different? What's your sense of it?
Well, it really depends on how often the coach comes in and lays into you. Obviously, with Brian was a very, very emotional guy, and he was hard-nosed. But sometimes, because of his lisp, it would be tough to get that message across. I'm looking at a coach like Dan Campbell from the Detroit Lions. Imagine if he would come into the dressing room between the second and third period and lay into you as the emotion on his face during the sidelines that he's with the Detroit Lions at all the times. And obviously with Craig Berube's background, being a tough-ass M.O., it's just sometimes you got to watch how many times you do it, because if you do it too many times, you're defeating the whole purpose of laying into them, because the guys are going to just more or less, they're going to shut you out, just like anything else. They're going to shut coaches out if they keep on harping one thing after one thing after one thing, and it's always the same thing. So done in the right way and at the right time, players should say more or less, the leaders of the team should more or less stand up and speak instead of the coaches. Because if the leaders don't do it, then the coaches sometimes, you know, you've got the wrong leaders for one, but the coaches can't come in there every single time and lay into you.
It'd be interesting to see what the Leafs' reaction is off the hop tonight in the Carolina game. We'll see if they come out hopping on the first shift. Naz, you brought something up before we went to air that we were talking about. There's another team that's dealing with a whole lot of hurt right now.
And it
got really bad and ugly last night. The largest home ice loss in the history of the Edmonton Oilers. Naz, tell us all about that.
9-1 Edmonton lost to Colorado last night at home. And they're going to be in a lot of trouble, boys, because McDavid has to put up for two and a half more years of this. And I wonder how far they go, really.
Lou, your reaction to that, what is that? Okay, you lost the game, whether it's 2-1 in a shootout or 9-1. Does it make any difference, or is this reflecting some issues over there in Edmonton?
This is a big concern for Edmonton, because they've done it, I think, for the last three or four games. They've blown two or three goal leads. And I'm going to question on the personnel that they have. You know, this team has gone into the Stanley Cup Finals the last 2 years. But if you look at it, it's only been McDavid and Dreisaitl that's carried this team. You look at their back end, like Darnell Nurse is supposed to be a leader on this team. He's Casper the Friendly Ghost. And Bouchard's even worse. Like, Evan Bouchard right now is probably having the worst 10 or 15 games of his life, because he can't do anything right. And if he thinks he's going to be on Team Canada for the Olympics coming up.
No chance.
You know what? I don't know what you're smoking, kid, but there's no way, hope in hell, that you're getting picked, because he is god-awful. And then we also know that their goaltending hasn't been the greatest, and that's the only difference from them probably winning back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Yeah, they've sort of paralleled the story of the Edmonton Oilers and the story of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Doesn't seem too much different, Naz.
Yeah, for sure.
Except the Oilers, I'll give them credit. They came pretty close to Game 7 last minute to...
So, boys, who are these fall teams for real? The San Jose Sharks and the Montreal Canadiens and... And the Luol, Chicago Blackhawks, are they for real?
Detroit. Lou, I'll turn it over to you. We got about 2 minutes before we go to break. I'll leave that one with you.
They're young. You look at the way they've built those teams, Montreal, Chicago, and San Jose, okay? They've had draft picks, I'd say, the last 4 or 5 years, maybe even more, in the top 10. So they've made all their draft picks count. When you draft a player like Bedard. They draft the kid out of Michigan State on a big 6'5", 6'6", a right-handed shot defenseman. You look at the way San Jose has built their team. They got Michael Misa, you got Celebrini, you got Smith there, the American right winger. You got Montreal, who they brought in, Martin St. Louis. Very, very calm demeanor, not Jacques Demers type of guy. And they've built a hockey team that's small, but they're fast. You look at Hudson on the back end. And guys, and if you don't have a goalie that's going to stop those shots, you're not going to go anywhere. So all three of those teams are going to be young. They've got a lot of young kids coming up. And just wait till some of those kids mature after having 2 or 3 years in the National Hockey League. You're going to see these teams probably in the top 5 or 6 every single year. And also Montreal, they got Demidov, that outstanding Russian kid at the age of 19 right now. So okay. They've just done the right job of drafting players on the terms that they finished in the bottom 5 or 6. And even you look at Utica and you look at Anaheim now too. Those are teams that are very young and they're coming up.
Yeah. On that note, Lou, we're going to take it to break and we're going to come back and talk some NCAA football with Frank Pomerico. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville surprised the big pizza conglomerates by introducing Pizza Romana. It's a crispy Italian sourdough crust that's oval-shaped with gourmet pizza toppings. The big pizza conglomerates complained because they don't have the Pizza Romana sourdough crust. I guess that's just sour grapes. Order your Pizza Romana at pizzaville.ca or on our app.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
The full hobby experience is here at Mint Inc. From sports cards to Pokemon and TCG, Mint Inc. is your one-stop destination for collecting, grading, and live shopping. This holiday season, find the perfect gift. Sealed boxes, rare singles, memorabilia, stocking stuffers, and toys. All available now at MintInc.ca. Also streaming 7 days a week on Whatnot. And look for the new location opening this winter in Ajax. Mint Inc., where collectors are made.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one super fan to another.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. Just a friendly reminder that our good friends at Pizzaville still have their really big special going on. 18-inch extra-large three-topping pizza, $19.99. Feeds 4 to 6, and it's bigger than 2 medium pizzas. The great people at Pizzaville, their extra-large special, $19.99. We're thrilled to welcome back to the Nazanwali Sports Hour the co-captain of the 1973 National Championship Irish team, Frank Pomerico. Frank, how are you this morning?
I'm fine. A little chilly here, but I'm fine.
It's okay. It's chilly in Toronto, too. I think your weather came up here. We got a little dusting of snow, but it's not hanging out there. Weather conditions weren't great yesterday, but the Irish got a pretty good victory against the Navy midshipmen. Your report on the status of the Irish team. Are we progressing? Are we going to be a force in the college football playoff?
Well, I think there's a couple of things we have to look at. First of all, in yesterday's game, I think would have been much more competitive. Navy's number one quarterback was out. His name is Blake Horvath, who had almost 1,200 yards passing and almost 1,000 yards rushing. So when he was out of the game, it limited the Navy offense. Now, I still think Notre Dame would have won, but I think it would have been a much closer game. The Irish really played well offensively. When you look at T.J. Carr, he's poised, he's confident, and I tell you, he has a way of running the team that seems like he's been there for 3 or 4 years. Now, here's a young man whose grandfather was the head coach at the University of Michigan and probably has been talking how to beat defenses since the fifth grade. His dad also played at Michigan. But he chose to come to Notre Dame, which we're glad about. He has a great touch on the ball, and he gives us a tremendous amount of impact as far as moving the ball down the field. Now, after this game, Love played a great game as well. He had the 94 yards and 2 TDs. There was one little bit of a strange play where he got tackled, and then he wasn't on the ground, though. Rolled and went another 50 yards. So Navy really stymied him except for that play. They held him to under 50 yards besides that one play. So Love, though, came through. Williams had 72 yards, and Price had 47 yards. So overall, the running game was well. The receiver core did well. And the Irish offense is really tuned up. Now, next week, we have Pitt. And Pitt is 7-2, and they have some great players. They have two good quarterbacks that have both thrown over 1,000 yards apiece. They're both throwing for a good amount of touchdowns. They have good runners in Turner, Reed, and Goff. So the Irish are going to have their hands full. They're playing at Pittsburgh, too. We have to take care of each individual game first before we start thinking about the big picture. Now, if we keep winning here for the rest of the regular season, we have a great shot at getting into the playoffs. I think we're in if we win the rest of our games. And then from there, things are going to get tougher because I think the teams that are going to be in the playoffs are all going to be very good defensively, can score. The problem with those teams is that the Irish, I think, on their best day can beat any team in the country. That maybe Ohio State is a tough one, like last year when they played for the national championship game. They gave the Irish an awful tough time. But the Irish were in the game, and I think this year maybe things have changed. Who knows? But Ohio State is awful good.
Your assessment of the Alabama team, Frank?
Well, I think the Alabama team is polished. They have good players. They may not seem like they have the same kind of intensity that they had when Nick Saban was there. But I think they're a good team. I think they're well coached. I really like Simpson, their quarterback. He has poise. He's a lot like C.J. Carr. He has great arm, and I think he has good tools to work with. He has good offensive line. I mean, these guys nowadays are just humongous. 6'7", 325 pounds is the norm. And you're getting offensive tackles now that are 6'8", and 320 to 340. So you're talking about some really, really big human beings that make, when I played, seem very, very small. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Lou?
Frank, I was watching the Bama game last night against LSU, and it's, for me, it's really frustrating because the execution on their offensive part is, you know what, it's almost like you want to throw something through the TV because you don't know what, one, what the offensive coordinator is thinking, and two, even as good as Ty Simpson is, he missed a lot of open reads last night. Now, obviously, they've got a great defense this year. I think their defense is going to take them to the promised land. I'm not sure whether they're going to win it or not, but their defense has played unbelievable. They stymied another offense yesterday. Now, with Notre Dame there, I think their situation, if they end up in 5-8, I'm not sure whether they're going to get into the top four. They're going to have that first playoff game at home, and it's going to be important because a lot of the southern teams aren't going to like that weather coming up to South Bend, especially in December. So it's going to be a big advantage, especially with the run game that they have right now. But if you don't get that run game, you better either have your defense stand up and do your part, or C.J. Carr there is going to have to more or less air the ball out. Now, the one question I want to ask you, Frank, would the NIL made a difference on the college that you chose in Notre Dame or going somewhere else?
Back in those days, obviously there was no money that was being passed to players, but at Notre Dame there wasn't. And my thought was I wanted to play for Eric Parsegian. He was the reason that I wanted to go to Notre Dame. He was the straw that broke the camel's back. For me, I would have went anywhere that Eric Parsegian. If he was at North Carolina, I would have went there. If he was at Michigan, I would have went there because he was such an impressive guy. He was the guy that you wanted to be like. He was competitive. He was disciplined. He was somebody that was fair with his players and his people that were on his staff. And anytime you have that kind of qualities, especially fairness, you have a sense of loyalty to that person and the program. So, you know, each individual coach has its own set of values and its own his own persona and culture that he brings with him. And a lot of times, like right now, we're looking at Texas A&M. The culture there with Elko is tremendous. I mean, the guy is a winner. The guy is disciplined. The guy is fair. And he has a tremendous amount of pride in those kids. Those kids really feel good because they're working hard and they're earning everything they do. So there's a number of coaches out there that are like that. And but Era was the reason why I wanted to go to Notre Dame.
Really quickly, Frank, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, and we're talking on the issue of coaches. And former Notre Dame coach is no longer the coach at LSU. Got paid a lot of money, as some of the other coaches who are being relieved of their duties. Do you have any? When a coach, college coach, gets paid out $50 million, and I know it's contractual. There's legal obligations there. Nobody forced anything on anybody. There's something about it that rubs me the wrong way, Frank. That universities are putting out that kind of money. But, you know, I guess we can't be naive about these things. It's big business, and that's what you got to do to attract these guys, to get them on their signature on a contract. But, you know, $50 million to stay home, that's I have a tough time with that. Frank, quickly.
Well, I think what you have nowadays in college football is the culture is winning, and everything is attached to the dollar. If you win, you're making more money for the university. You're getting more donations from the alumni. So they're willing to spend huge amount of money in order to capture the type of person they think is going to bring wins to their program. And they're finding out that not all these people that, because they won someplace else, they're going to do the same thing at another school. So I think they have to look at the character of the person that they're getting involved with and try to see if the integrity they have is going to match what they want. Unfortunately, what's happening is money is dictating everything. And I think you look at players, they don't care what school they're going to. They care about how much money they're going to make. That's why Nick Saban got out of coaching. And you hear that kind of thing. And to me, it's corrupting the sport. And it's unfortunate, but I think it is. Yep. And I think until they get a handle on it, we're going to be spinning downward.
Frank, we're going to get you back in the future to talk about that topic, and hopefully we get on a run with the Irish here so we can get you back. We're going to let you go. We're going to thank you so much for this morning, and I'll leave it off this way. Go Irish. Thanks, Frank.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Frank Pomerico. We're going to take it to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the story of the 1986 Swift Current Broncos. The movie is called Sideways, and we have Bob Wilkie, a star defenseman from that team. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced...
Pizzaville?
Right. When Pizzaville introduced Pinza Romana. It's a crispy sourdough crust, oval-shaped, with gourmet pizza toppings.
Pizza toppings.
It's so light and delicious, once you try it, Pinza Romana will be all you can think about. Call Pizzaville for...
Pizzaville?
Call Pizzaville for Pinza Romana or visit pizzaville.ca.
Pizzaville.ca.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one superfan to another.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
The full hobby experience is here at Mint Inc. From sports cards to Pokemon and TCG, Mint Inc. is your one-stop destination for collecting, grading, and live shopping. This holiday season, find the perfect gift. Sealed boxes, rare singles, memorabilia, stocking stuffers, and toys. All available now at mintinc.ca. Also streaming 7 days a week on Whatnot. And look for the new location opening this winter in Ajax. Mint Inc., where collectors are made.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. The film is called Sideways. It chronicles one of hockey's most unforgettable stories, the 1986 Swift Current Broncos. Four lives were lost: Trent Cressy, Scott Kruger, Chris Mantica, and Brent Ruff. And we're thrilled to have with us this morning a member of that team who was in that bus when it tragically turned over on a highway in Saskatchewan, Bob Wilkie. Bob, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Great to be here, Naz. I'm excited to be a part of your show.
It's thrilled to have you. Bob, how did the film come about? This is a tragedy that happened almost 40 years ago, and I'm sure there isn't every day you think about it. Tell us how the whole film came about and the incredible reception that it's received.
It's been a journey, you know, quite a journey to get here. 2006, we were bringing a team from the U.S., where I was living at the time, up to Canada to play in the Max Major Midget Tournament. I wrote an article for the Hockey News about the experience that we had with the boys and, you know, how much it's not about winning. It's about, you know, what we went through and how we bonded and all the fun that we had. And I connected with Lisa Culp, who I didn't know at the time, was behind the bus when it went off the road, held one of my teammates as he was taking his last breaths. And when Lisa and I connected, we decided that we wanted to write a book about the experience. And so that kind of triggered the whole series of events. The book took about 5 years to get published. And then Shane from Trilight Entertainment bought the rights to the book. And he's been trying to make it into a movie for a bunch of years. And he came up with an idea about 3 years ago where he said, well, I'm not having any luck getting anybody interested in helping me make this movie. Why don't we make a documentary? And for the last 3 years, we've been traveling around and talking with old teammates and people from Swift Current about the experience. And we launched at the Hockey Hall of Fame in September, which was really cool. I'd never been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think you guys can all relate to this. You know, we have parts of our story that we're not necessarily proud of. And, you know, tend to not want to think about. And my experience in Swift was a little bit of that. So going to the Hockey Hall of Fame and, you know, seeing the trophies and some of the things that we had accomplished was very healing to realize what we had accomplished. And my old general manager from Detroit, Jimmy Devolano, was there. And we had a great chat for about 45 minutes after about the things that we didn't know. Him as a general manager, you know, and me, a young guy trying to come up and, it was just really good. So it's been so healing, the conversations, the impact it's having on the people who have seen it, because I think everybody's, you know, had one of those experiences in life that causes things to go sideways.
Yeah, before I turn over to you, Naz, I just wanted to point out to the listeners, I took the opportunity to go watch it last night, and it can be found online at www.sidewaysdocumentary.ca. I found it... I don't even know how to choose. And we talked about this after I watched it, just after. And then Bob, I'm sure you sensed the emotion in my voice after I watched it. It was a profound experience for me watching that. And I highly encourage our listeners. It's an incredible story. It's a story of decades of silence, pain, and ultimate healing. Please, if you're listeners, please go watch it. I think you'll be moved by it, and I think you'll be proud of the work that's been done. Naz?
Bob, did you see the actual crash happen?
Yeah, I was sitting on the back seat. We had just moved from Lethbridge to Swift Current that year, so we had the old bus. Didn't have a bathroom in it. So the back seat was just all the way across the back of the bus, and the way that we typically set up is there was four seats on the left side and four seats on the right side that kind of faced each other so we could play cards and talk. And so as we got in the bus, I was in the back seat on the left side and my teammates were on the right side, a couple of feet away from me, throwing the cards around, just getting ready for a road trip. And it was, we weren't sure if we were going to go. Always a little unnerving when you get on the road and you're not quite sure what the roads are going to be like. But, hey, we'd done it 1,000 times before, so no big deal. And it all happened so fast that it was overwhelming. Just 1 minute we're laughing and joking, and the next minute I'm watching everybody's heads float through the air, and then it was over.
Lou, I'm sure you spent a lot of time on buses during your junior hockey career. I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning, Bob. It's
good morning, Lou.
Franceschetti.
Yeah, I think we played against each other once upon a time.
Yeah, we did. I think I'm not sure if you were on that Calder Cup team 91-92 in Adirondack that beat us. I was in Rochester.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember that series.
What's that?
I remember that series fondly.
Yeah, so do I. Obviously, you know, we can sit here for hours and talk about the hockey stories and you playing with Joey Kosher, Bobby Probert, and Daniel Schenk, and all the characters that you had down in Adirondack those years. But I have to say, I haven't watched the documentary, but I did listen to or watch the interview that you had with Glenn Dreyfuss. And it is people, sometimes they don't see certain sides, and I have a soft side that nobody else knows because of the style of hockey that I played in, and more or less it brought me to tears on everything that went on and the moments, and also the mental health and the situations that professional athletes, just like normal human beings, go through every single day. For you, how long was the process of, I'm going to ask you something else. Is there any time during a day or a month or a year that this comes across your mind and you kind of just sit back and it makes your skin crawl or it brings you to tears?
You know, Lou, it's taken a long time to get to the point where I can answer that as a no. But for the better part of 2 decades, all the time. I think that's, you know, what we didn't know about trauma. It wasn't a word that we used back then. You know, you just, especially at that time, you know, when you were a young guy coming up, it was, you know, you got to suck it up. You got to find a way. You got to be tough. And so tried to do that, and just it didn't work for me. Just led to a whole bunch of erratic behavior and nightmares, and not knowing how to communicate, I think, was the hardest part, Lou. Honestly, I wish I would have been able to feel like I could have talked to some people. You know, my dad, at an early age, I realized there were certain things I couldn't talk about, even though he was my biggest supporter, due to the fact that he didn't really know how to support me in those ways. And lots of times, you know, you try and open up to coaches and you can just see that they don't have an answer. So you just stop talking about it. And that's, I think, what made it so hard for so long was just keeping all that in. And that's what I've seen over the last 20 years doing the work that I do, is it's the same issue that I had, is, you know, people are suffering with whatever they've experienced in life, and they don't know how to go about starting the conversation.
Now, your mother said in the interview that she wouldn't let you go in the trade from Calgary to Swift Current at the time. And I understand where parents are, that you don't want to go that far away. But it's amazing how does a 17, and obviously Joe Sakic was on that hockey team also, and you had a great team, obviously. Did you win the Memorial Cup in 88-89, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, like at that time, how did, if you can think back, like you're 17, 18 years old, you're on a bus. Did it affect you in the long term? And also, you did say in the interview that, was it your first or second year you went into Detroit's camp a little bit overweight, and Detroit didn't come up to you and ask you on why you did that? Because obviously you were a second round pick. You had all the accolades of making the Red Wings because of your history with Swiss Current. Did anybody from Detroit ever come to you and ask you on why you came to camp overweight?
Yeah, I mean, to the first part, you know, at 17 years old, leaving. Just things were so good my 16-year-old year with the success I had playing at home. I was fortunate to be playing for the Calgary Wranglers. So, you know, kind of in that sweet spot. And then the shock that a lot of people experience in the game of hockey is you get traded. So it was difficult. I had never really been away from home. There was lots of fighting at our house of, you know, whether we should, whether we shouldn't. Had a really interesting experience with Graham James the first time I met him. When I got traded, Swift Current was coming to town to play that night, and I wasn't able to play. That was part of the deal, but I had to go over and meet him. And It's really, I can honestly say, in all my life with all the people that I've met, I've never had my stomach turn like it did when I met Graham. And I didn't know why at the time. So I had that kind of lingering, and I was kind of leaning, you know, to mom's side a little bit. It's like, I really don't know if I want to go and do that. But, you know, dad kind of, I think, had the vision to know that if I didn't go, then, you know, what kind of message does that send to scouts that, you know, he's not willing to do what the game does for people. So that was a really difficult time. And yeah, Detroit did, you know, one summer call me down before I went in overweight and just said, listen, we don't know what's going on. I sat with Neil Smith and Jimmy Devolano. We were all in a room together and just, you know, that was my opportunity. They were sitting going, okay, what do we need to do? How can we help? You got a great opportunity. And because I didn't know how to communicate and didn't feel like I could really be honest with them, I kind of refused that opportunity. And that was another thing I had to live with, is they did show that they cared and that they wanted to help. I didn't give them any information that would allow them to do that. So, you know, another regret that you have to kind of live with that makes the event even that much more painful. It was not an easy time.
We're talking to Bob Wilkie, member of member of the 1986 Swift Current Broncos, and we're talking about a documentary that's just been released, Sideways. Bob, you lost Trent, Scott, and Chris, and Brent. But you had a lot of other teammates on that team. How have they, what's been the journey for a lot of your teammates? How many of them you're still in touch with? How has it profoundly affected their lives?
It changed so many lives. You know, when I think about being that new team in Swift, there was a couple guys from Calgary that I had played with the year before. Kurt Lachton was our captain in Swift. Richie Wiest, Eddie Brost. A lot of them, you know, really didn't have the heart to play after that. I think Eddie Brost left and came home. It was just too hard. Over the years, kept in touch with, well, obviously Sheldon and I played together for a couple years in Detroit. So we were still on that troubled path. And Peter Soberlak, who's a part of the documentary, and I are still really close. And Darren Kruger and I were defense partners for a couple years. And so we're still very close too. And it's really cool. The documentary has allowed us to talk about things that we didn't know how to talk about as 17, 20, 25-year-olds. I think it's provided a lot of closure. I think when other people realize what we have been through, it helps them see us in a different light with maybe some of our flaws. And yeah, it's anytime we go through something in life, with a group of people, it does create a special bond, and it has done that.
How many people were aware of the Graham James situation?
At the time, you know, none. It was a really interesting time in Swift Current, you know, because Graham was a very different individual, very different coach, and the relationship he had with some of the players was quite interesting to watch, especially Sheldon. You know, they used to just fight on the bench. You know, Graham would say something, we'd be coming off the ice, and Shelly would start screaming at him, calling him all sorts of names. And we were all kind of going, oh, how do you get away with talking to a coach like that? Because if any of us have ever said that to a coach, my goodness, we'd be done. So it was just a really odd dynamic that I think raised a lot of eyebrows for some people. I know Mike Billet was an RCMP officer, so he had you know, been trained to see and feel different things. And, you know, Bob always said, there's something not right with that guy, and actually went to the office and tried to talk with, you know, the owners and leadership about that there might be something going on. And it was just, it was not looked at, not taken seriously. 20 years later, you know, you find out some stuff. He was kicked out of here, and I met some people in Winnipeg where Graham came from, and they kind of dealt with the same issues. So I think one of the issues within all sports is that, you know, when somebody kind of gets or has an experience and an organization doesn't want them anymore, they move them along. you know, without really informing people to, you know, whoo, thank God we got him out of here. And I think that there was more than one person out there that knew what Graham James was before he ended up in Swift Current.
We got about 5 minutes left. Lou?
Bob, you said that you had a knot in your stomach from the first time you talked to Graham James, and you knew there was something wrong. This happened in 87. You guys ended up winning the Memorial Cup in 88 and 89. Obviously, there were some guys that carried over to for the 3 years. How was that journey, and how did you guys stick together during that Memorial Cup, knowing of the previous tragedy that that happened in 2 years previous to that?
It was a really tight group. You know, seeing what we had seen, being through what we had been through together, it creates that bond. We didn't always get along. You know, we fought a lot. I think we were all going through different things. You know, just getting drafted, trying to make the NHL, not getting drafted, living away from home, and then having, you know, kind of that always lingering in the background, what we had gone through, what we had seen, just created a bond within us. And when we got to that final year, and it was really interesting because Joe had left. You know, we had 2 years with Joe Sakic, who was the Canadian Hockey Rookie of the Year, and then the second year he was the league MVP. But we actually won the Memorial Cup without Joe, and it was because we all knew that we didn't have Joe there to kind of do what Joe did. And so everybody stepped up their games, and the leadership of all of us, you know, really ramped up and brought the young guys together, and we were one very cohesive unit that, set the records. I think we still have records for most power play goals in a season. And we accomplished something that we all wanted to. We knew in our hearts that was the end result that we wanted, and together we were able to do that.
Bob, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. I've got two. I wish we had way more time. I've got two areas I'd like to ask you. And number one, the Humboldt Broncos, another tragic car crash, bus crash. How, when you heard about that, what was your reaction? And then I'll leave off after that with your. You're doing some great work with your venture, I Got Mind. We'd be remiss if we didn't chat very briefly about that. Your thoughts on the Humboldt Broncos and how you reacted to that story, and tell us about all the great work you're doing today.
Humboldt was shocking, very much like the day that we went through ours, especially as more information started to come in. It was really difficult because it was a flood of memories and feelings from the day that ours happened. It was eerie because the Broncos, you know, when I first found out, you know, a friend of mine had texted me, did you hear about the Broncos? And I couldn't believe that there might be something happening again. And then going and supporting those families and players, we were in Humboldt within 24 hours of the accident, meeting with them all and just trying to help them understand what they had gone through and what was going to happen and how they could go about healing and dealing with the things, because we had that experience. So it was very profound, created some great friendships from that. And I think it was affirmation that we were all healed and that we could help people, and that's what we really want to do. And that's what I Got Mind is all about, is being able to support people who have been through things like this.
Bob, we're going to thank you so much. It's a great, great documentary. It's profound. Thank you for all the great work you're doing in sharing your story, the story of the 1986 Swift Current Broncos. It's a story that's definitely been worth retelling and retelling all the time and especially on the great work you're doing today in this mental health field and helping people deal with these types of tragedies. Thanks so much, Bob.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
Bob Wilkie. Guys, we got a minute left. Naz, Buffalo Bills. We laid a beating on the Kansas City Chiefs.
We did. We played them and should have won by more.
Lou, any Any comments on the Buffalo Bills?
They better bring their A game to Miami today because they don't have a history of doing well down there in that heat. And the way the NFL has gone this year, any team can beat any other team on any given night. So I think Mr. Josh Allen had bring his A team and bury the Miami Dolphins as early as you possibly can. Don't let that game drag on into the third and fourth quarter.
Anyways, Naz, we got to get off the air. Last word.
Go Bills.
I knew that was coming. To all our listeners, have a fantastic and safe week. We'll chat with you again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.